So before we begin, let's have a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to learn about true education. Help us, Lord, to see you and the words that come today here in this place. May they be from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so before I begin with practical ideas, first, I want you to know a little bit about the why I started. We always need to have a why, right? And this is going to be my story. It doesn't have to be that way with your story. We all have a story of why we're doing it, right? But this is my story. My father is Cuban. He lived in communism when he was an adult. Communism started. So he lived in Cuba when it was free. And beginning communism, he saw that the liberties were taken away. My sister was born there. They wanted to take the children away at a very young age and separate them from the parents and take them to, they called it agriculture. In Spanish, you would say, de cara al campo, to go facing agriculture. And it would be away from the parents because, well, we know why, right? If they're away from parents, it's a way to be able to guide them and brainwash them and teach them another way. Well, my dad, in those ages, his personality is very explosive, and he likes justice. And how is this possible? We need to, reveal. We need to do a revolt. We need to get out and go look for help and come back and take away communism. That was his idea. He was not a Christian. Okay, so he had the opportunity to be able to not do what communism people do, but he was 5 years in a concentration camp because of that. And it was a very hard. And when he is able to get out of Cuba, his idea was, I'm going to be back, and we're going to make justice. And he went, actually arrived in New Jersey. And someone came to the door, Spanish-speaking, because he did not know any English, knocked at the door, and they were Seventh-day Adventist Spanish-speaking people. And that's the way he learned about the truth. And 6 months later, after being baptized, the same person came to his door and said, you know what? I was mistaken. What I told you that was true is not true. And he just, what do you mean it's not true? Wait. I need to find this out by myself. You come back. You can come and talk to me about anything else, but I'll let you know when I'm ready to talk about this again. So he took out his Bible, and he went to an ABC, and he took out counsels and spirit of prophecy, and he wanted to compare if that really those books that he was learning from really were from the Bible, because he had already accepted God and the truth of the Bible. So he spent many, many months comparing and studying. And you know what? He called that person and said, I'm ready. You can come and let's talk. And you know what? I think this is true. I think you're mistaken. You know why? This is why. And you know that person was rebaptized in church. Amen. So this is my father. I grew up with my father working very hard. We were a very poor family, but he worked two jobs. There was no time to see Dad except on Fridays and Saturdays, Friday nights. And he always dedicated me an hour. Sorry. And he would sit, in a rocking chair and talk to me about Jesus. He would talk to me.
Why don't you repeat that again so that the microphone.
I'm sorry. He would sit in a rocking chair, and he was very tired, you can see, but he would come with enthusiasm, always starting with something that happened in Cuba, but ending up with Jesus.
Amen.
And it was at the feet of my father would sit on the rug. I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And he would tell me, you know, I used to have that spirit. I have to go back and do justice. You know what? I found out that that's not my country. Cuba is not my country. Heaven, where Jesus is, that's my country.
That's right.
And that same zeal that he felt to go back to Cuba and do justice, now he was like, we have to make justice, not for us, you know, for God. We're soldiers. So he had this torch lit up, and he said, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to be alive when Jesus comes. I'm not sure, but I need to pass this on to you. And I hope you're still small when Jesus comes. But if you're not and you have your kids, you need to pass it to them. So I was growing up with this flame in my heart that at a small age, we need to implant this seed. And it's a burning torch that needs to be, I mean, we cannot give the truth of the Bible in a very boring way, because it's not boring. It's so exciting, and it's so real, and it's so true, and I could see it with things that happened to my father in the past, okay? So when I'm growing up and I go and I choose something to study, I did end up studying education. I did up going to public school and Christian Academy, Adventist Academy. And when I began being a teacher and going into the elementary level, I was, oh, we're going to change the world. This is what we need to do. But there was just one problem. I started out in kindergarten level. That's not the problem. There were beautiful kids. And there was a 70% in my classroom that had no idea of what Christianity was. Families that were divorcing, parents that really only wanted them there was because it was a bilingual school. So there was a lot of little things that were, you know, the rules of the place and the laws where I was. I lived in Puerto Rico in that moment, limited me. I knew I'm supposed to be out in the garden and stuff, but they're wanting me to be more time inside, and how can I do it if I'm more, you know, I had a lot of little questions going on. But I did believe, and I saw teachers that had the flame too. But then I looked, when I became pregnant, I was married, I became pregnant, I started to look at the kids that were coming out of certain schools, big schools, and I saw, there's something happening that I'm not getting. We have our truth, but a lot of our kids are... How do you say when they're illiterate in the Bible? They don't have really an opinion about what they want to do and their goals. And I don't know what I want to do with my child. I don't know. I want them into education. And then I found a family that was there. I was already giving second grade, and I was pregnant. But I saw a family that was outside. While we were in the classroom and grading, I was that day very late, grading a lot of papers, and then I saw this family was so happy. I could see them regularly playing, and actually they're the Cardona family. They lived in Puerto Rico, and Alvin and his sister and his parents, they would come out, and they did so many things that I was like, ah, they're so happy. The kids are really smart, and they're learning with nature and this and that. I'm really interested in that. So I went to talk to Sonia, that was her name, and she says, you know what, yes, you need to read this book. And that was Child Guidance, and I had seen it in another way as a teacher, but now as a parent, go back and read it. Okay, education, go back and read it, and then come back to me and we'll talk again. Okay, so to make things short, I was inspired again. Oh my. And I have one of the quotes that really let me see. I have it here. That really showed me or inspired me to be able to do this. And we've said this quote along the way. I've heard Carrie read it. Let's see if I find it. Sorry. Okay. We sustain terrible losses. Have you heard the quote that Miss Carrie was? At times I find myself wishing that God would speak to parents with an audible voice as he spoke to the wife of Manoah, telling them what they must do in training their children. I felt like that. Lord, if you could appear and tell me, do this and do that and do that. Oh, I really would like that. We are sustaining terrible losses in every branch of the work through the neglect of home training. And that just hit me, yes, we need to train. I need to do it in another way than it's been doing. It was this impressed upon our minds the need of schools where religious influence should predominate, right? Parents, guardians, place your children in training schools where the influence are similar to those of a rightly conducted homeschool. Schools in which the teachers will carry them forward from point to point. And then I thought, well, if we're having losses where the education in the home, you know, it's not correct, so we're needing to put schools that are like the home education. Well, why don't we start with the home education and do it correctly with Plan A, right? So that inspired me. And this quote is in Child Guidance and Chapter 51. Okay. Title is Choosing the School. So that's what really inspired me, and I began, okay, so I want to be able to take my children and be redeemed. We want to have a character, you know, like Jesus, and everything that we've heard every speaker talk about through the week. Okay, so where do I begin? How do I start? And I felt, oh my, I'm not sure if I know everything I need to know before I start. I'm not sure if I'm ready for this, Lord. And I began to have conversations in a different way with the Lord. It was like talking to my friend and my best counselor, my best friend. And that's how you start, by talking. So what would I do? I actually was somebody that could not get up early. I tried and tried. And it had to do with something. I was going to bed too late, something that we talked about. So I had to have this time with my Lord. I had to be able to read, to study, and then to listen to him. So I started going to bed earlier. The stories I start telling are not just because I want to show you my life. I really don't want you to look at me. The things I'm going to be saying, the little stories here and there, we're trying to give a practical example of certain things, okay? So started getting up in the morning, going to bed early, to be able to have time with the Lord. And the Lord told me with this study and communication, you need to begin. You need to wet your feet. Oh, like Moses. Did he know that the ocean was going to open? He just started to walk and he got wet. And then the ocean began to open. Okay, Lord, I'm going to start getting wet here. Okay, now what? Another step? Okay. So that means that I have to start asking questions, specific questions. Yes, I'm doing true education, but Lord, how do I take the mind of my child to you? Give me specific examples. Lord, how do I do discipline? Oh, my. Am I supposed to do this or that? What if I don't do what I'm supposed to do? Or what if I do it too hard? Or, oh no, and then you have to go back. What happened to Joshua? There is a certain story of Joshua that he didn't ask the Lord, and he got confused, remember? The enemy was trying to trick him, and he should have gone to God. Okay, God, there's this. What should I do? No, they're tricking you. Oh, then the story would have been different. Okay, Lord, did I ever stop going to the Lord? Did I ever make a mistake and not go to the Lord for something? Yes, it happened. And yes, I fell down. But you know what? Not only are we redeeming our children, we are being redeemed in this process. We are learning. And when we're down, we say, Lord, help me, and he will pick you up. And we will just begin again. From the step we are, we will go again. And let's start all over again, then let's go. Okay? So we're going to be talking about different things like discipline and things that I had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, now what? But we have to have in mind something. We're dealing with different parents with different stories. And I know that everyone here Maybe it's a parent or a family or a teacher, and that you have your stories. Why? You have that fire for the Lord. Another thing, when the child is born, and I'm going to tell you a story of what I mean first before I say. I had Elizabeth first, and she was a peaceful child. Oh, I was very blessed, and we were able to do a lot of things, very happy things. But if I didn't have a peaceful child and I had a firecracker, would I be still happy? would it be wrong to have a firecracker child? Well, my second child was the firecracker child. And when I thought I knew all the answers, they changed all the, you know, the questions were changed because now, it's not this way, it's that way. So then we have different personalities and we have different ages. But not only different ages, we have different levels of maturity. So then at the age of 8, someone could be mature enough to do this and understand. But at the age, maybe another child gets it at the age of 10. Is that wrong?
No.
What's the important thing?
To get it.
Right? So homeschooling and true education doesn't come in a box. It's not one size fits all. Okay? It doesn't work that way because there are different interests and there are different talents. Okay? And I have here another quote. It's actually a Bible verse. Let me see if I have it right. I'm sorry, just one moment. Okay. It would be Romans 12, 4 and 5, and it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." So maybe I'm training the ear of the body with one child. And I might be training a foot or the hand, but what if it's a little finger? Or maybe a strand of hair. Are they all important in the body of Christ? They are important. And I cannot try to do try to give the ear food like if it were the mouth, because it wouldn't work. You understand? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Oh, my. And I sort of learned that by getting my feet wet and you know what? Making mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes. Going back to the Lord, help me. This is not working. Okay, so we're working with all these ages, maturity, different temperaments, different personalities, different backgrounds, stories, you know, our personal story. And from there, the Lord wants to redeem all of us. We are all one body with different functions. And at the end, carrying the torch and being with Him. Oh, amazing. Okay, so I'm here, Lord, and my feet are wet. And I'm wanting to ask you questions. So they're not in order, but I'm going to go ahead and say something. God is a God of order, isn't He? So I need to have order in my homeschool. What should I do? Oh, I did a lot of things to try to do order. This was when the kids were, growing up, you know, not in the baby stage, maybe a little bigger. How do we show order in the family? Okay, we need to be clean. But at the same time, you know, when we're learning and we need to make bread and the flour fell to the floor, you know, I'm not going to cut the process because the flour is on the floor. But yes, we have to later pick it up. Do you understand? But there needs to be order. So what worked for me is actually sitting down and looking at the big picture first. That works for me. It might not work for you. And so I sat down and looked at the big picture and trying to see, Lord, what is my ultimate goal? You have to place your goals. you have to, it worked for me. Let's say, I took a binder and I said, okay, this is going to be my binder of homeschooling or education, right? And I need a philosophy of education. Why am I educating at home? And I sat down with the principal of the school, which was Father, and the superintendent, which is God. Okay? And we sat down, the three of us together, and we tried to make a paragraph or something that, you know, put it on writing. And I needed to see that, because there were days where I was not seeing my goal, and I had to go back and read it. Oh, yes, now I remember. Okay. So it worked for me. It might work for you to have it on paper, okay? And that same binder I put down, or maybe you can have it on the wall. I don't know. I put on that same binder, I placed my goals, not only as the ultimate that we know that is, we want to take, you know, our kids to Jesus, but then the other more specific goals. There are a lot more other little specific things in the way. For example, let's go to Daniel. Can we go to Daniel? Do you have your Bibles here? Let's go to Daniel. Daniel 1. 3 and 4 says, and the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princess. Did he bring all the children? It says, what certain? And what were these certain children? They had something. Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding in science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Spanish, that would be Chaldeans, is that how you say it? Wow, with no blemish? To stand in the king's palace? So, you know that Daniel was homeschooled? He was trained at home, and something terrible happened. He was a young person, not too small, but he wasn't an adult, was taken away from his home. I don't know what happened to the mother, but the mother did something, placed in his heart and guided him, where they made this rigorous test, physical test, and he passed the test. They did an intellectual test. I don't know how they orally, or I don't know if they put him to write or what. And he came out with 100%, and science, and he was well in the learning of language. But he was proper, and he had the Lord in his heart. He was able to be in the palace of the king. Is my child able to be in the palace of the king? There are a lot of little things that would be my goals for this year, or for this day. You know, so those would be specific goals for this year. I want this year in the character. I want to make sure that he's honest. Would that be a goal? We want to this year go out to nature and study the trees or the plants and do biology. And for this year, you know what? He needs to understand the concept of adding. That'd be a goal. You write that in your folder, okay, in your portfolio. And there are so many goals. So we have the overview, and then we have the specific goals. And we need to have it written down, because life gets in the way and it happens. And I want to tell you the mistake I made. This planning, at school you would plan, and you had to turn in the plans for the teacher made. So I would plan at home too, and I said, you know, this is so inspiring, I want to do a journal. And I took out my journal, and I started, oh, today we did this, but if I wanted to give all the details, I would have 3 pages, 4 pages of journaling. And you know what? Homeschooling was sort of being left behind, and this is not working. So I learned to keep it simple, keep it really simple. Another thing you could have is to keep it, help you keep simple, is take out a calendar. In your binder, you can have a special calendar, and you can put and place the titles of the book, this, page, that. You can put just a word. The character trait for this week that we would like to review is honesty. Okay? But you know what? Remember that in this organization and planning, who is the superintendent? It's God. And there might be a day where you had planned something. And in your conversation with him that morning, he told you, nope, you got to go. And I'm going to give you an example. One day I had something planned out, and we were going to do this and that and that. And that morning, I felt the urge that we're not doing this. We have to go outside, and we're going to go under some trees. My children... The smallest one was about 3, so that means that my girl was about 7. And our worship time, we would go outside, and that day we went and we took a little like a cloth, and we put it down under a mango tree. We lived in Puerto Rico. We lived in over there, a mango tree, and we started seeing butterflies, and we started having worship outside. Farther down, we lived in a place where it was sort of country, so we went farther down the mountain and way over there. And Elizabeth is very excited. Oh, what are we doing? We're not having school today. Well, this is part of it. This is we're learning, and let's go do. You know, we started our worship, and we started singing. And I had brought our little lunch and everything there. We were going to do some stuff and read together and all that. And then a little bird called Reinita, like a little, how do you call this? It was a tiny bird like this, so high. And it's black and white, but it has this yellow line that goes this way and a yellow, very bright yellow line that goes this way. It's a crown. So it's the name means queen, little queen. And this little queen, Reinita, started singing and singing and singing and singing with us. And from then on, we would do worship outside under different places. And the same little bird, I knew it was the same bird because she would get really close. And she would do the same little song. And my daughter said, Mom, are you seeing that the bird likes to do worship with us? It's like, really? Oh, yes, she likes to do worship with us. You check. Tomorrow we're going to come outside, Mom. Let's go to the other tree over there. And you're going to see that Reinita is going to come, and she's going to start singing with us when we sing. And I was like, okay, we can do that. Well, let's go over there. And that happened. We started to sing our hymns and our songs in a very happy way. And all of a sudden, Reinita came. And Reinita was there. She was singing and singing and singing with us. And by the end of the worship, we actually told the Reinita, well, we're done now. We'll see you tomorrow. And the Reinita flew away. Like, whoa, okay, Mom, is that what we read about Adam and Eve singing and praising the Lord, and the birdies would come? You know what? Yeah, it's something like that. So we saw like a little chunk of heaven. For months, this little bird came and sang with us. And one day, Daddy was free. He was, Miguel, you're not going to believe, but there's a little bird that does worship with us. And he was, really? But like, really? Yes, yes, you've got to come. So at the beginning, he did. He participated that day. You know, we did it in a special way outside. And the birdie was far away because I think he was sort of like not knowing who Miguel was. But then when we started singing, and the birdie came back. And he saw it. He was, wow, I believed it because you were telling me, but this is amazing. And, you know, things like that was not planned in the goals to go, but the Lord will tell you what to do, and he has a purpose for whatever it is. But yes, we do have to have an outline of what we want to do, okay? So a calendar, at the beginning, we have the goal to have our children be self-governed. And a schedule of the day is very important for them. They like to see it. At the beginning, I did pictures where they could see, okay, toothbrush, meaning I'm washing my teeth at this hour, I made preparations, we do this and that. And there were a little Bible, okay, this would be food preparation. And at the beginning, I made the mistake of doing it too. Oof, detailing so much. I learned that having special anchors worked for me. And so I had an anchor of getting up and preparing in the morning, an anchor of worship, an anchor of school time, which I called school time, but actually school was all day. You know, we were learning all day, but a time when we on purpose would do the R's, the three R's, the reading and the writing or whatever, you know, and then we would have industry. What I called industry was something agriculture outside or woodworking or sewing or something like that, and family time. There was always a quiet time, okay? Always a quiet time because they needed to learn. Sometimes it was 15 minutes. It could grow depending upon the maturity where they could do peaceful activity, never being bored. That was one of the rules of the home, never being bored. Having something to do. We had a special place where they knew that it was either coloring or reading or puzzles or blocks or something outside with rocks and stuff, okay? Okay. Manual things. We talked a lot in the week about that. I'm going to give an example that really inspired me. I'm sorry. Do you know these people... The Waldensians, is that how you pronounce
yes.
it? In Spanish, it would be Valdenses. Okay, Waldensians. Some were shoemakers and would go house to house, and they would also give the truth of the Lord. Oh, thank you so much. Sorry. Some were shoemakers, and some were... you know, with clothes and cloths and that they had made. And there's a particular story that I love to share with my kids, and I show them that our industry should be with a purpose, and our purpose is to take others to God with what we do, okay, to serve. So there was a place, and you can see this in, I get the word mixed up, conflicto de los siglos. Do you know how to say that in English?
That conflict is ages.
Great controversy, sorry. I'm so sorry. There's a story in there where there were two people that went to a place and they wanted to preach, and they were with this fire to talk to people, but there was a law that they could not say a word. So the soldiers came and they told them, if you say just one word, we will put you in jail, and you might have death. So no, you cannot talk. Okay. They happened to be painters, so they took this big... cloth, and they started painting very detailed, and one took one and the other one took the other, and one painted Jesus, and you could see in the painting the humility, the love in his eyes, but he didn't have any splendor, human splendor. He was riding on a little donkey, and you know, he had poor, you know, not too fancy clothes. And the other one was a leader of the church, but with this, you know, all the magnitude and all the crowns and stuff. And his eyes were like mad. And those two were placed in the center of the city of that place. And then they left. And it says that everyone that passed there got the message completely. And when later they tried to give out false things there, people were converted already, and just by pictures, just by painting. So if we paint, or if we go outside and we do woodworking, we do something, we're going to do it for praising the Lord, okay? So have specific goals. What would you like to do? Would you like to learn how to cook? There are so many that we have already talked about, the cooking and agriculture and stuff, okay? So you plan that, because nothing happens by coincidence. Is that true? If you want to do woodworking, but we didn't plan ahead and have the wood ready, well, when you start, then you're going to begin. It's time to go outside and do it. Well, let's go and chop down some wood, and let's go buy some wood. Your hour just left right there, so there's no time for that. We need to plan ahead, okay? Another thing that I did, Bible concepts, the Ten Commandments, how did I... give it to them. Okay, specifically, I'm going to mention an example of Sabbath, the reverence of the Sabbath. In our house, It worked when the kids were not too small, not too big. A box where we said, this is our special box. It's separated from the rest of the things that we have in the house. And these are going to be special crayons, and these are going to be special paper. We're not going to touch this during the week. And special, whatever I could, activity could find, this would be in that special box, okay? And then we would go treasure hunting. And what was treasure hunting? Where were we going to find, during the week, we would find verses, for example, about what the spider means and the spider web. There's a verse that talks about that, has a symbolism, and the bird and the tree. And we would write all this down, and we would go out Sabbath afternoon and do a treasure hunt. Oh, we found the tree, Mom. This is the tree with the big root in it. Oh, this is like the verse we talked about, that the root goes, you know, this one's dying. He's not close to the water. But you know that verse that says that the root has to be close to the water? You see, oh, okay, we've got it down. Good. The list. Let's go to the next treasure hunt. And what else is, oh, Mom, I saw the butterfly, you know. Okay, what? And we would compare. So we need to make our, we tried, because it was a struggle when I was growing up that my dad, with his zeal, he went into work for the Lord. He was all day in church, all day, and he did meetings and things. And it was, I wanted him to do that, and I thought he was doing really good, but I was getting bored, and I was tired at the end of the day. And sometimes our children see Sabbath as being, oh, it's Sabbath. Okay. And I didn't want that to happen. So, yes, we go to church, and yes, there sometimes need to be meetings. And we can be patient, and we can wait a little bit. But God is fun. He is true. And let's go see what he did for us. You see all this he made, and the paintings. And do you understand the concept of the Sabbath, of being happy, but how we need to keep that day? It's a day of reverence. Yes, we're having fun, but we're going to meet the Creator in a special way today. In each little flower you see, you're going to see the signature of God. Let's talk about that. And what we do today is not going to be like the rest of the week that we do things for ourselves, and, you know, it's work, but now it's for Him, okay? So, we're going to walk. We're going to have a hike. But the purpose is we're going to meet God, okay? So, trying to give an example of what we did with that. Addressing discipline, That was hard. That was hard. And I did mention that I had a child that was more peaceful, and I had a more firecracker child, right? I'm going to tell you some things. So I'm going to get out on a limb here and give you some examples, things that I might have done wrong and things I might have done right. But the concept that I want to show is that we have to go to the Lord, and He's going to tell you how and to what extent. Okay. Elizabeth, when she was 8 months, and I asked permission from her to be able to say this, and she said, okay, Mom. She was 8 months, crawling, talking a little bit, not being able to reason a lot, just, you know, a baby, 7 or 8 months, okay. Something happened, and I don't remember what happened, that she wanted her way, and I had told her no. And it had never, ever happened before, and she just had a fit. But not a normal fit. I mean, she got really red, and her head, she started to pound it on the floor. But pounded and pounded and pounded, and it just surprised me so much. How is this possible? She's always been so peaceful. And, you know, I don't know. I'm going to tell you what I did. In a flash of a second, I reasoned so many things in my mind. And I cannot let Satan take control of her character. And, you know, there's a Bible verse that says, and I have it here, but my computer doesn't really help me too much here. You know, that we need to reason together. Let's see if I have. I think it's the Isaiah one. Okay, let me see if I. Okay, anyways, that we need to reason together. I wanted to reason with her. I wanted to talk to her about it, but I couldn't at that age. So this happened seconds. I picked her up, and with a lot of love, I gave her up. A boom. But you know what? Immediately, I just started to cry because I didn't want to do that. And it wasn't hard enough to hurt her, but it was enough to, she stopped crying immediately in that moment. She just and looked at me with her eyes. And in Spanish, I said, eso no se hace, with a lot of love but firmness, no se hace. You don't do that. And she didn't cry. She just stopped. I never, ever, ever had to do that again. I didn't have to hit her. I would say, no se hace. And she would stop. I don't know if you should do that. But I know that whatever the discipline is, if you don't do it on time, bad habits form really fast. Okay? I never, ever had to do that. I tried it with Caleb the first time. And it didn't work with him. He was my firecracker, and he got so angry, and I felt so bad. And, of course, I was crying. This is not working. I found out with him, he would get very, very, very angry for some situations. He didn't talk as fast as Elizabeth, but he was very physical. He ran really soon. He walked very, very fast. And what worked with him was getting his energy out. So if he did something wrong, I would grab them by the hand and say, okay, 2 or 3 years old where he could walk, let's go run. We're going to do a grizzly run. You know what that is? We're going to run together. Run. And by the end of the little run we did, he was like, with a big smile on his face. And then we would sit down. You know what we just did? You know what just happened? We can't do that. You can't take that. You can't get angry. Okay, Mommy. I'm sorry. And he would give me a big hug, and I would try to reason with him at his age, and it would get, you know, he would grow up, and he still had that for some time, that he would get really, really angry. And at a certain point, I would pick him up sometimes, and just sometimes it was when he would get a fit, I would go into the shower with him with clothes and everything. We would take a little cool shower together, and it worked for him. He had a little, I mean, sometimes it was with clothes and all because I did not want the time to pass. I had to address what I'm trying to, the example I'm trying to say is that I had to address when they were small the problem in the moment. And then he cooled down, and then again, he was so lovable. He was so huggable, and he would hug me and kiss me and, thank you, Mommy. And then I could talk to him, you know what? What the words we just said and the things we just did, that was not correct. What do you think? Do you think we want to be able to have Jesus, you know, be happy and oh, I'm sorry. Would you like to say you're sorry to Jesus with me? Let's go do it together. Go. And we would kneel down together. I'm sorry, Jesus, because I did. He wanted to do it from his heart. But at first I had to cool him down. That's how I found out with his personality. With Elizabeth, I tried to give her quiet time. Like sit her on a little chair. And she was fascinated. Oh, because she was a peaceful child and she loved it. She didn't find that at all. Like she was learning anything and she was just sitting there and having the time of her life. This is not working. So then I started thinking, I need to relate what we do with the child, what they just did. For example, there was an argument with the kids. And then I went, okay, it just occurred to me, Lord, help me because I need to address this like right now and they're arguing. And I'm not going to, you know, how do I do this? And it came to my mind, oh, thank you. Okay, Elizabeth and Caleb, come here. I'm going to show you something. Let's go to the kitchen. And I took out a piece of garlic and I sliced a little piece, sliced big enough, small enough, not too big, not too small. Okay, let's chew on this. They're still small. Let's chew on this. We have to chew it. I'm going to chew it too, okay? Mommy's doing it too. Mommy, it's burning my tongue. It really burns. It's hot. It's like... Yeah, it is. And if you eat a lot of that pure, like that raw, it might even hurt your tummy. I don't want you to eat so much. But you know what happens when we say things? I mean, I know you were not saying bad words, but when we talk like that to other people, oh, it's like our tongues are on fire. And do you think the Lord is happy when we talk like that? No, Mommy. You know, and sometimes it could be so bad that it could, you know, you could hurt others like that. Do we want to hurt others? No, Mom, I don't want to hurt anybody. And I need to go wash off. Okay, let's go wash off. And now, did we learn the lesson? Should we talk like this? No, Mommy. Okay. Can we ask forgiveness to Jesus? You know why we would go always to ask? Let's go together and ask for forgiveness. Mommy made mistakes, and I would always go to Caleb. You know what? I made a big, terrible mistake when I said this and this. Can you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Do you want to come with me and pray with me? And I want to ask forgiveness to Jesus because I did that wrong. Can you be with me by my side? Sure, Mommy. I'm going to help you. And give me, it's like my bodyguard. Here you go and pray with me. And, oh, it was amazing. And, yes, I made a lot of mistakes. But, it, you know, the walk was, oh, so amazing. Do you more or less have an understanding of how the Lord is going to tell you how what specific thing would work for your child to take them to the Lord, to redeem him?
Can I interject something?
Sure.
Excuse me. I just want to say, you know, you hear stories of parents, you know, having the children wash their mouth out with soap.
Okay.
I just want to praise the Lord that he gave you that to use the garlic. It's because you say you go to the Lord and he just tells you the things. I hope I interrupt you. I just had to interject that because that's wisdom from the Lord.
That's wisdom from the Lord.
Okay,
I mean,
sorry.
Oh, Lord is so good. Let's talk a little bit, just a little bit quickly about the learning and the mental, the book parts, what we talk about the books. When I was talking to my friend and my child was about 2 years old, Sonia Cardona, I would say, okay, Sonia, I want to do homeschooling. Okay, oh, sure, good, okay. So how do I start? Well, you play with them. You go outside. Yeah. I got that part. I understand completely. Okay, how many books do I need? Yeah. No, well, you see, you'll get the books. Don't worry about it. No, but they're going to be, you know, she's going to be in a couple of, she's going to be five, and she needs to get down her phonics, and she needs to, you know, do I start with the, and then, you know, talking to her and just doing it and praying to the Lord. There are skills that need to be taught one after the other. I'm going to give you a precise example. Math. Can they multiply before they understand the concept of numbers?
No.
So should I start with the concept of numbers, the abstract that one means actually one, if we're talking about bugs, it's this amount, one. If we're talking about two, we have this amount. Well, after they understand the concept of numbers and that numbers are infinite this way and that numbers are infinite, maybe we don't have to get to that infinite part yet. There is a time for each thing, right? And then we can move on to adding and to subtracting. And I can't go to multiplication until I have that. So there's like, you can use books to help you with that. Or you can do it on your own in elementary grades. There will be a time where the algebra I don't know how to do that. You might, I don't know the whole thing. I need the book to help me, you know, more rigorous, more practice, more. But that's a time for, you know, high school maybe, a little bit of intermediate. Over here, there's an order of things. I'm going to give you an example on reading. Elizabeth knew how to read, and I taught her and Caleb how to read by not actually writing a lot, but knowing the sounds, not the name of the letter, the sound of the letter first. And then you could put the sounds together. Okay, this sound, ah, actually is named A. That's his name. Then later when we got into long vowels, well, when they're long vowels, they're going to say their name. Remember what their name was? Oh, yeah, A, sure. And we would go on through the rules, okay? So they learned how to read, but it made little tiles of, like little boxes of paper, and I put the letters in, and we just put them. let's see what word you could make. If I put these together, what would it be? Oh, mom. Sure. Okay. Okay, let's put... Elizabeth's first word was Tomas. It wasn't mom. It wasn't dad. It was Tomas. Thomas. Wow, that's your first... I remember, Tomas. She got it, really. I mean, it was pretty long. Okay, wow. Okay, good. And she kept on. When she got to a certain age that I knew that she could read, and she was mature enough, I had read that children, they don't form dyslexia, need to have 20 minutes of reading, no more. Then you do this practice, like close up, you know, the reading for 20 minutes, and then you do something where the vision is way up, you know, they can see out, because if not, you can develop different things in the eyesight. Why is the council, I'm going to stop there, why is the council saying that children should be playing in the field 7, 8, or 10 years? It's because the muscles in the hands, the muscles in the eyes, and in the lungs are not ready. They're not developed fully. They're not developed fully. So if you take a child of 5 years old and you sit him down and you say he's in a certain position, the most of the day, you're going to hurt him physically, okay? If they're reading for hours, you're going to hurt, they're going to be with, you know, you're going to cause them to have glasses or have any, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. When I knew that Elizabeth was mature enough to read, I mean, she read a lot, little things, but I'm talking about a book, a whole book for herself. She didn't really want to. It was like, well, if you can do it, Mommy, because we read a lot. That's something you should always do. Read a lot, the stories. Begin the stories. And if we're talking about the pilgrims, let's just go on from there and take math out of it. Let's take the concept of science out of that. Well, we did a lot of that. So why should I read if Mommy reads? You can read for me. And I learned something, that you should not do anything that the child can do on his own, because you want him to grow independent, no? And self-government, right? Okay, so I took a book. We went to ABC. We took a missionary book, and it was very her age, very nice. This child was going to China to be a missionary. And I started reading, you know. She started preparing her things. She made her suitcase. The parents went, and they saw the big boat. They were ready to get on the boat and cross the ocean and go to China. But when she got to the boat and looked up, I closed the book. Mommy, you have to tell me what happened. I need to know what happened to the girl. Well, you want to find out? Yeah. Okay, here. Read the book. But Mom, you can do it. I know you can do it. You go ahead and read the book. Let's put the kitchen timer on. Put 20 minutes. 20 minutes you read the book and you tell me what happened, okay? You really think I can do it, Mom? That's really long. Yes, you can do it. I know you can. We've been training for this. We've been practicing. Go ahead, do it. And she could not disconnect from the book. And then, oh, the alarm went off. Let's go do something else. Come on, it's time for something else. Really, do I really have to? Yes. She loved books from then on. And when they start reading a book, oh, you can enter them into a world of another place, a missionary, you know, inspiring books. That we're moving on, and then what type of book should we be reading? And you know the verse, what does the verse says? Everything that is...
Philippians
4:8. True, and all that. So at the beginning, I knew this verse, but I hadn't really understood that. So we had a lot of books. I knew that I didn't want any monster books in there, and I didn't want any certain types of books. But then we sat down and said, you know what I found here? I found this verse that says, that talks about, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. So I started asking her, true, honest, pure. We made the list. Okay, guys, I just understood that we need to have things that we read, things that we see, anything that comes through our eyes, through our ears, that comes into our hearts, into our minds, it needs to be those things. So Mommy made a sort of like a big mess up, and we have some books here that are really good, and we have some that are so we might have to give it away. So I took a big bag, can you help me? And that was the process of changing to learning something and trying to, that has a word when you want to reform. You involve the child. Let's do some, why didn't tell him we're reforming? I'm telling him, I did a mistake. Let's go fix it. Should we go fix it? Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's two concepts in the Bible where you took, you know, Philippians 4:8, and then in the book of Acts, when the people, you know, so they saw all those things, and they went and they got all the piles of the books, and then they just burned them up.
Well, we took the books, and they were the ones that helped me.
Yeah.
And we were able to talk about the concept. I'm trying to do it really quick. The concept of magic. What is magic? You know what? Magic is not the power of God. God is powerful. Magic is Satan trying to trick people thinking that he has power. And, you know, we have this, what they called white magic and black magic. If you see anything of magic, we don't want Satan's power in here, do we? No. We take the books and put, okay, magic. This, that, okay, short. So I was saying, so should we go and take it somewhere? Give it to somebody? And Elizabeth told, you know, and Caleb did too. I don't remember which one. No, Mommy. That doesn't work for anybody. You need to throw it away. So when Daddy got home, we didn't have a whole bunch of money to be, you know, buying new books or anything. But he was like, you're throwing all that away? Yep, we're throwing all this away. Yeah, Daddy, we are throwing all the bad books away. Did you see that? And he was like, okay. There goes the books, and throw them away. Okay, well, little by little, we're going to be saving up, and we'll get really good ones, okay? Does that mean, you know that in, you know the book Pilgrim's Progress, for example? I'm going to give you just an example, not to go to the extremes. L.G. White talks about that book, right? And he gives examples. Did that really happen?
Really
no.
Happening.
Excuse me?
It's really happening.
It's really happening, but in a symbolic way, right? Let's not go to the extreme and say, oh, this person didn't really do that. Literally, that was his name, but yes, it's a true thing that we can apply in our lives. So, of course, that book was not thrown away, okay? I just want to give you an example, not to go to an extreme, okay? So, we did that with books. And, let's see, I lost a little bit my train of thought. One day, this is one of the last examples I'm going to give, maybe. One day we went outside. Elizabeth was a little smaller. Caleb was very small. Elizabeth was smaller. We went outside and we had avocado trees and we had some orange trees and we took some of that. We had placed it on a table. And something they said or the conversation, it clicked in my mind. I knew it was the Lord clicking. I needed to give a concept. And I said, okay. You know what? I'm going to bring you some cents here, some pennies. We've been talking about this, and here's a quarter, and here's a dime, and here's this and this, and here are a lot of pennies. And I brought some things out of the kitchen and put them on the table, and let's pretend we're going to the store. Mom, but I want to pretend I'm you, like if when you're big. Okay. Well, let's make it fun. Come on. And I put her my shirt, and she put on my heels, and she went out. She was a lady that was going to the store with my purse, and she had the money in her. And then I had labeled numbers like cents. So what was the value that I wanted to give? And I wanted just to practice the adding and the subtracting. And we talked about. She played with me and gave me the right money. And oops, you gave me too much, or you gave me too little. So what, you know, all that concept. It was, for her, it was a game, but she was adding and subtracting. That's what Mr. Montag was saying yesterday about, or the day before about, you know, experience, hands on, the concept of adding and subtracting. She was trying to do it in like a real setting, and we talked about tithe, and the 10 pennies. We did do that. The 10 pennies. And how? What is the Lord's? This is the first thing we need to do. So we took out the tithe. Okay, if we had 10 pennies, only one is for God. That's the first thing we have to do. She learned that playing. And then doing it in the store and then doing it at home. And when Daddy got home, and I just need to back up a little bit and say, When we started homeschooling, it was a little hard and we were a little cautious because before the family that I have mentioned was very, very inspiring, before that, we had seen homeschooling that was not working. And homeschooling can do bad things if you do not have the sense of service for redemption, this Christ-likeness. I can be very, very, want my child for myself, you know, self-centered. This is for me and my child, and not show them the work, the value of work, and all the values that we have been talking about. And so my husband, when he got home, he asked my daughter, "So what did you do today in school?" "Oh, Daddy, we didn't do any school. We've been playing all day." "We've been playing all day. We went to the garden. We picked oranges, and we got some avocados, and we just, oh, we cooked. And I did a very nice salad. But then before that, Mom and I, we were just playing store. And we've been playing all day. We haven't done school at all." And he looked at me like, "I'll talk to you later." "Yeah, we've been doing school. Yes, we have. This is." And then I had to sit with her. "Of course we're doing school. You know that you learned to do adding. We learned to take out tithe. We did this, and we worked, and we went out in the garden. We did science. We did this." "Really? Wow." So it was inspiring. It's fun. And when the children get bigger, life still has to be a balance. There still has to be, you leave them on their own, but you're there guiding, and you see, it's so refreshing to be able to see my daughter, my son get up, turn on the light, they have their Bible, and ask the question, "Mom, what does this mean? I didn't get this very well." Or, you know, worshiping that, how I taught to Caleb especially, it wasn't easy for him to sit down quietly to do a personal devotion. "What, Mommy, I have to be sitting down by myself." And then you would see him. It was very hard for him. So I went with him when he was smaller and said, "Okay, we're going to do, can you let me do your personal devotion with you? This is something really private between you and Jesus, but I want to share it. Can I share it with you?" "Sure, Mommy." "Okay." "Sorry. So here's the Bible. Let's read a story. We had some fells. And then, you know, we have to talk to Jesus because he's real. You can't see him. You know, the sin has a separation, but he can see us, and he's our best friend. Would you like to tell him something?" "Yes, Mommy. I want to tell him that he can do anything, can he?" "Yeah. I want a puppy. I would like to have a puppy." "Well, you know, you could ask him that, you know, and when the right time comes, when he said so, well, maybe, you know, he can tell us what puppy to get and all that." "Sure, let's go talk to him about the puppy. And I would like to not get mad." "Okay, you want to ask him to help you not get mad?" "Yeah, well, let's do that." "Well, how would you say that?" "Oh, I don't know." "Well, let's pray." But I don't know how to pray very well. I pray funny." "Well, you know how you told me? You can tell him. Okay, and then you try it." And I sort of one day prayed, and then he did it one day until I saw that he was good on his own, and I sort of backed off a little bit. "So this is your quiet time. Would you like, I can step out a little bit, and I can be over here praying also, and you pray over there, or we're together, and you can do it in your mind." And he got the picture at some point, you know. But I walked with him and along the process until he got it. And you see that until they're big, getting up in the morning, having their devotion. Recently, Elizabeth came to me and said, "Mom, this is supposed to be my schedule for next year." She's doing it on her own. She knows what we're supposed to do, but it's not correct. "I need your help." "Why?" "Because it's all books." So she knows already that if it's all books, like when I say books, I mean everything is, excuse me? Yes, everything is just the math and the science and just the book learning. "Mom, I don't have any industry. I don't have time for my music because I want to learn how to play the piano, to play in church. So I need to have, so if it's not true, we need to No, we need true education. Yeah, Mom, I know. We need true education. So help me do this because this is not working for me. Okay. We need to eliminate some things. What are your goals? What would you like to do when you get out? What would you like to be? I would like to be. Okay, so for science, we're missing this, but we don't have to do all this over here. We don't, you know, tweaking. And do you understand what I'm trying to say? Self-government, she did come to me for help, and I'm trying to help her, but she's understanding that we need a balance in our life. She is 16. She is 16. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. She's 16. So she is, yes, doing a lot of things. I'm guiding her, but she's governing certain things too. Okay? Of course, we said about Dad's participation. I've talked a lot about myself, but Dad is the superintendent, and he should be, you know, he's the teacher too, and he should... When they see Dad involved, oh, they're so excited. At any age, I've seen that, okay? So I just wanted to say, at the end of the day, if you think that homeschooling or the true education carry with her school, you don't get tired at the end of the day, it's not true. You get tired. You get drained. And sometimes you feel like... I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm doing it all wrong. The mother's work, and this is in Ministry of Healing, the mother's work often seems to her an unimportant service. It is a work that is rarely appreciated. Others know little of her many cares and burdens. Her days are occupied with a round of little duties. They're just small. All calling for patient effort, self-control, for tact, wisdom, self-sacrificing love, yet she cannot boast of what she has done as any great achievement. She has only kept things in the home running smoothly, often weary and perplexed. She has tried to speak kindly. She has tried. Did you see that? She has tried. She has tried to keep them busy. Tried to speak kindly to the children, to keep them busy and happy, to guide the little feet in the right path. She feels that she has accomplished nothing, but it is not so. Heavenly angels watch the careworn mother, noting the burden she carries day by day. Her name may not have been heard in the world at all, but it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great responsibilities rest upon you, mothers. You may aid them to develop characters that will not be swayed or influenced to do evil, but will sway and influence others to do right. By your fervent prayers of faith, you can move the arm that moves the world. The prayers of the Christian mothers are not disregarded by the Father of all. He will not turn away your petitions. Do you have a petition this morning? He will not turn away from you and leave you and yours to the buffeting of Satan and the great day of the final conflict. He won't do that. It is for you to work with simplicity and faithfulness, and God will establish the work of your hands. When the well done of the great judge is pronounced and the crown of an immortal glory is placed upon the brow of the victor, many will raise their crowns in sight of the assembled universe, and pointing to their mothers, say, "She made me all I am through the grace of God. Her instruction, her prayers have been blessed to my eternal salvation." Amen. And that is our goal, to keep the torch lit. Do you have to do what I did? No. You have to go to God and ask Him. We need to study a lot. We need to talk to Him. You know, our children are going to pass things that we as children didn't have to face. The Lord is coming soon, and this is ending. And they are going to be facing decisions that we didn't have to make at their age. But they need to decide for Christ. We cannot lose time. We cannot let the character slip away because we feel pity. It's not time for pity. It's that zeal I was talking about that I felt when my father would explain, and we have to, you know, I had to go back and do justice. No, our Father is coming, and he will do justice. What side are we going to be on? I want to be that day before the Lord. And I don't want no one throwing crowns at me. I mean, to me, and it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not even about our children. It's about him and showing the other worlds that he is justice. And our crowns would be thrown at him. And when I look, I want to see my children there, but I want to see you and your children too. So this is the purpose of homeschooling. May God bless you.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.